folks. Welcome to Leader of the Pack on the All Paws Pet Radio Network. I'm one of your hosts. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Susan Herbert, the Lone Star Dog Whisperer. And my co-host is America's canine expert, Mark German.
Well, thank you, Susan. And I just love that Rochester accent. I think they pronounce it Rochester up there, but I just love it. It's so sweet. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. We welcome questions and comments from our listeners. Please email us. Please email us at pettalk@live.com. We'll answer your questions. We'll get your questions answered, Susan.
Well, I am thrilled. I'm so thrilled to announce our two guests today. It's going to be a great show. Well, they're all great, but, you know.
Well, you know, we can't help that. We got a good technical people, too. That's awesome.
So, folks, I got a question. What would you do if your beloved dog was declared a dangerous dog by local authorities and then was sentenced to euthanasia as a punishment for his crime? Well, coming up later in the show is attorney Richard Rosenthal. He is co-founder of the Lexis Project, legal defense for all breeds of dogs. But first, we're going to talk to one of our new friends, attorney John McQuaid. He is the founder and the chairman of the board for GALT, that's G-A-L-T, and it stands for the Greyhound Adoption League of Texas. And he's going to tell us more about the unique and beautiful breed. So welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, welcome, John. It's been a while since we met. I think we met at Easter in the park in Dallas. I think that was around Easter.
We did. It was on Easter. It was Easter morning, in fact.
All right. And we've been trying to get in contact with you since. I think we have a symposium for your group coming up soon.
Yes, August 4th.
Awesome. Hey, all right, John. Well, let's get into this. What is the mission of GALT?
Well, the mission of GALT is like we're an adoption group that deals primarily in retired racing greyhounds. We deal primarily with dogs that either competed or were bred or trained for the track. In the last few years, we've been in existence for 13 years now, and we've placed over 2,500 greys throughout the nation, about 1,600 in the Dallas and Fort Worth area. And among those dogs, the 2,500, we have imported Galgos, and we are now dealing with a large number of mixed breed sidehounds, which we accept and adopt out as if they were full blood greys. So our mission is to find forever homes for these ex-athletes and their cousins now. We're a no-kill, all-volunteer organization. We spay and neuter. We do extensive medical treatments on the dogs. Our motto is no gray turned away. Of course, now that includes any sighthound in need. And we provide medical treatments and medicines and rehabilitation for these animals. We probably take more injured hounds into our program than most groups across the country. We're the first call that's ever placed by any animal rescue group, animal shelter, humane society that have injured sighthounds in the state of Texas. We're the first one that's called. In fact, we accept dogs from out of state, too. We treat up to 60 broken legs from various racetracks across the country each and every year. Our record is 33 broken legs in 6 weeks. We're proud of the fact that we were able to provide that service. We were dismayed by the fact these wonderful dogs were injured because of bad track conditions. But that's another story for another day. So that's our mission.
We can do that, too.
I know we've talked before about the difficulties that you face when trying to find homes for these dogs. I know, you know, the medical treatment, number one, would be one difficulty because it's difficult to find people to either foster or permanently adopt a dog with a medical condition.
Well, indeed. That's the recent That's the reason we do the extensive medical that we do. We do not adopt a dog that's ill or injured to anyone. We're fortunate to have 110 foster homes here in the Dallas, Fort Worth area, and Austin, and in Amarillo. Because we have chapters in Amarillo, Austin, of course, here in Dallas, and we have a smaller chapter in Odessa, Midland, and a smaller one also in Houston that works specifically with a track. So we are able to do that. Yes, our problem of adopting dogs is, if we have any, is finding dogs that are cat safe or cat tolerant. And that is our worst obstacle at this present time. Over 60% of our adopters have cats. We currently have 20 plus applications waiting for cat tolerant dogs. We test them as best we can, and we find them eventually. But it's a long, tedious process, and we're hoping to accelerate the cat tolerance, small animal tolerance, by proper training.
Well, we know a good cat group that would probably take those cats. I'm kidding, John. I'm just kidding. Don't fall asleep on us here.
I got you. I know it. Not you. That's a good joke, believe me. We have so many cat adopters, cat and greyhound adopters. On our online commerce store, we now have a whole section devoted to cat products. When one day I woke up and realized we had so many adopters with cats, instead of just selling canine in general and greyhound in specific, we decided to also sell pet supplies and paraphernalia and cats being adult accessories. So, and we could do so much more if we could control prey drive.
Right.
In these fine young hunters.
And we can.
And that's our challenge. And we can, I think. I hope.
You were just mentioning you fix their legs and you treat for heartworm and you get the flea baths. And, I mean, you're doing everything for dogs physically, you know, to make them the best. But behaviorally, you know, that's their – what's the more unique characteristics of these dogs? You just said prey drive. What else?
Well, of course, they're a very gentle creature, and they've been a favorite human animal, a favorite companion animal for about 4,000 years. So, they're getting along with adults. Humans is generally not the problem. It's dealing with other animals. We're starting a program with Mark's help, of course, Mark, to train each and every dog before and assess behavior and train each dog before adoption. Adoption groups are orphanages, and let's face it, the first orphans that are always adopted are the cute ones, and therefore we are putting all our dogs through basic obedience training, but that's still not dealing with the prey drive and the small tolerance.
Yes. John, we've got to run to break real quick, but we're going to come right back after these messages to talk more about the prey drive.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Your pet may be sick and not even know it. Your pet may appear healthy, but a vast majority of healthy-looking pets are actually infected with parasites and other infections that do not manifest themselves until they overwhelm the pet, and the pet finally appears sick. Sometimes, by then, it is too late. To find out more about how you can help your pet to stay healthy, then go to www.quantumvetcare.com. That's www.quantumvetcare.com. www.quantumvetcare.com.
You are listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And right now we're talking with John McQuaid from the Greyhound Adoption League of Texas. And we've been talking about some of the unique characteristics of greyhounds. And one of the characteristics that we've talked about is the prey drive. And it's one of the difficulties they face when trying to place these dogs. He just mentioned that, you know, the cats are obvious prey to dogs. And with greyhounds being trained to chase something, they run into problems. So, John, let's talk some more about that.
All
so
right.
You said that cats are an issue. Do you find any other pets that people have at home tend to be an issue with adopting out greyhounds?
When we talk about cat tolerance, we also talk about small animal tolerance. Small canines can be victimized mm-hmm. by greyhounds. Now, often the gray is just curious and won't actually attack the dog, but except on occasion. I mean, there's always exceptions to the rules. And often the small animals will, especially the small canines, will pick a fight and will be killed as the gray defends itself. I mean, that's also that situation. We're very careful when we know there are small animals in the house to match dogs properly, though that's not 100% guaranteed. Along with the prey drive is the fact that they're being sight hunters, so if they're off, we recommend that they're never off lead, of course, and in most urban locations, it's the law that if they're outdoors, they must be on a lead, which would eliminate a problem with a dog dashing off. But if they do get away, they will run and will not respond to voice commands because they've not been trained to do so. They've been, in fact, pretty much trained to ignore those kinds of loud noises and shouts and such as they're trained for racing to be able to concentrate on the lure and the race. So our challenge is to get them to start responding to voice commands when they're in the field, so to speak, as well as they would and do in the home. So the prey drive and running away and pursuit of game, of course, is just another side of the coin that we're trying to solve with greyhounds and other sighthounds that come into our system.
Mm-hmm.
Greyhounds, the track dogs at least have a modicum of training. However, we're taking in so many strays now that they've had zero training. But they still possess the same characteristics.
Real quick, John, you mentioned you guys train them. Obedience, I would assume, but you've got to try to do something. But you know, the greyhounds I've worked with, the only training I ever saw that they needed was just a big fluffy bed, and they would lay down and stay forever.
Oh, indeed, they definitely are couch potatoes, as we comment that what the cliche is in the greyhound world are 45-mile-an-hour couch potatoes. Being sprinters, they're not high-energy dogs. People think they're going to be hyperkinetic, and they are when they're running. But being sprinters, after that sprint's done, they wish to rest, and then they're quite calm. In fact, they're a most calm dog, and they're wonderful house dogs, and they're indoor dogs. And that's why, again, they've been a favorite companion animal for all of these years, because of that wonderful disposition that they have. Our dogs also, many of our dogs are starting to be trained as service dogs, these therapy assistance dogs. And, of course, the greyhound is the universal canine blood donor. Many of our dogs work for vets in the area to provide blood products for other breeds, for surgery, and because they've been around for so long. So that's their wonderful history and disposition. In urban situations or in dealing with the smaller animals, a large percentage of them need to have special training to dampen or at least control prey drive so that they can get along with smaller companions in the home.
We're looking forward to helping you with that. I mean,
you know, we do So we're looking forward to that, too. We all want to become a dog whisperer so to help them live safely with their feline housemates.
Now, one of the characteristics that I've seen frequently, now keep in mind that nobody calls us with their good dogs. We get called with the bad dogs. But what we see frequently with greyhounds is fear, a fearful dog.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've noticed the same thing. Of course, you get to see a bigger percentage of normal dogs, and we, like I said, see the bad ones. But would you attribute that fear that we see, would you attribute that to anything?
We have a percentage of shy dogs that come into our system that we encounter. But with socialization, that fear and nervousness seems to go away. It requires training, mm-hmm. and love and care. Once the dog adapts to its environment, then that fear will go away. I'm sure people understand that this poor animal is having all these new experiences and react and can't verbalize and can only accept in its behavior as it manifests its being afraid or shy or retiring. Mm-hmm. As a rule, we're not. Yes, you're finding the timid ones, and there is a percentage of them. But I'm sure you're very successful in solving that problem, aren't you?
Quickly.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Right. I thought. Because it's training. It's training. Training humans around them to how to react and to enhance that dog's socialization.
Right. We're about to head the break. So real quick, how can people find and contact Galt?
Oh, go to our website. It's the best way. It's galtx.org.
Awesome.
galtx.org.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I hope you'll stick around because you might be interested in hearing what our next guest is going to talk about. It might be a familiar story to you, but
you need to hear it. You need to listen to it, John.
But we are going
to. But I want. I've never heard it from. I've only heard it secondhand, so I look forward to hearing it from the source.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, we're going to head the break, and we will be right back after these messages.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
And we're back. You are listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. Next up, we have Richard Rosenthal. He is the co-founder and counsel for the Lexis Project, legal defense for all breeds. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hi.
Well, thank you for joining us, Richard. It sounds like you've got a bit of a New York accent out there, huh?
Just a little bit, yeah.
At least you don't have to cross the GW.
Well, that's a whole other country once you get that way.
I hear you talking. Well, let me get started with you, Richard. Tell us about the Lexis Project and how it became into being.
About 3 years ago, my wife was on Grey Talk, which is the Greyhound listserv board, and she read about a greyhound up in Rhode Island that had been taken to a dog park and let off leash, and unfortunately the people who were at the dog park, somebody had brought a Pomeranian puppy and thought it would be cute to watch the Pomeranian puppy play with the big dogs. And in about 2 minutes, the Pomeranian puppy was in Lexis's mouth, and unfortunately the Pomeranian puppy died from the experience. They brought a dangerous dog proceeding against Lexis, and she was deemed dangerous, and they basically said they had to build a stone concrete bunker in the backyard and never let her out again, except to go to the vet. The owner was both unwilling and unable financially to do so, and they were going to kill her.
Mm.
My wife was very upset, as were most of the people in the Greyhound community. And her attitude to me was, this is horrible, somebody should do something. And I agreed, somebody should do something. Her next question was, great, so what are you going to do? And my initial answer was, well, I'm not admitted in Rhode Island. I don't practice animal law. So I wasn't really planning to be doing anything. That was not an acceptable answer. And I started researching the law, and we found a quirk in the Rhode Island law that allowed us, with the help of a local attorney, to get Lexis released. Once we did that, Lexis, we brought an action up there. The town attorney decided that it was in his best interest to let the dog go. And that was pretty much the end of it. Lexis was rehomed to a wonderful couple down in Pennsylvania. And word got around the greyhound community about what had happened, and we started getting calls from various greyhound groups, you know, with different problems such as dangerous dogs and biting situations. And the Lexis Project got formed mainly as an information resource for the greyhound community. And over the next year or so, we did four or five situations, none of which actually went to court at that point. And it was a nice, quiet little organization that basically helped out in our own community. That next summer, somebody called us, again off Grey Talk, would we help a Siberian Husky up in Connecticut that was on death row for killing chickens. And we got involved, and that was Luna, and we were able to get Luna off. After Luna became a dog named Buddy, who was a golden retriever down in Milford, Connecticut, who had been on death row for 9 months, when we got involved, and we got him released. And that was the point that we were debating whether or not to go all breed, and the worry was that we were going to get overwhelmed. And the same week that we were debating this, we happened to get an email from someone down in Florida that one of the major landlords down there was refusing to rent an apartment to someone because greyhounds were on their list of dangerous dogs. And we realized that we really had very little choice but to go all breed. And from there, that Lexis Project became an all breed legal defense for dogs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's there's a lot of breeds that are singled out and deserve defense just as well. So we're about to head to break here in just a minute. I know that you are a nonprofit organization and that the attorneys all are pro bono. But I know there's also a lot more expense incurred in a legal suit than just payment to the attorney. There's filing fees and various things. So I know that you guys need funding, and we're going to find out how people can help your organization when we come back from these messages.
Great.
Is your pet eating too fast? Well, we have the healthy solution. IQ is the perfect solution to help your cats and dogs lead a better life. With their new patented design, their bowl will make your dog and cat live a culinary experience by having them eat like nature intended. Having to play with their food not only reduces the chance that they have weight problems, but will also let them enjoy the chase, like they would in nature. Designed by a veterinarian technician, this bowl was acclaimed by veterinarians and behaviorists around the world and won Becker's Best in Show at the Global Pet Expo in 2012. Get one for your cats or dogs today at your local store or online at AIKIOU.com. That's AIKIOU.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark. And we're talking to Richard Rosenthal from the Lexis Project, a legal defense for all breeds at risk. It started out as a legal defense for greyhounds at risk, but along the way, they figured out that there was more than just the greyhounds that needed help. And Richard, thank you for joining us today. I did have a question for you. We spoke yesterday, and I know the Lexis Project is located in New York, but you are a national organization, and you mentioned that you've had cases in 29 different states.
Um, we've just been, every time we get a call, if we're able to find a local attorney, we've gotten involved. What we found is, for the most part, it's not the dogs that are at fault. It's as much as it's the owners.
Really? We figured that out, too.
And unfortunately, killing a dog because of the owner's negligence really doesn't solve the problem.
No, it doesn't. You're absolutely correct.
And I have a quick question for you, Richard. If, you know, the dog is being euthanized or the situation goes on, well, once you get him released, let's say, I mean, he was in there for a reason, but you got him released. Now what happens to the dog?
Depending on, sometimes it goes back to the owner with behavioral training. Sometimes it's an agreement. It'll go back to the owner with agreements that the dog will be muzzled and leashed and fences built. Sometimes the dog is rehomed to one of the organizations that works with us that's willing to take it, work with it to get over any bad behavior, to retrain it, and see about eventually adopting it out. And occasionally they go to sanctuaries.
Oh, okay. So backup plans. Did you, a few years ago, Richard, there was a case, and it might not have been that big of a deal, but this case involved a dog laying in his own backyard, a fenced around his yard. A kid, came over the fence, went over there to look at the bone or whatever the dog was chewing on. The dog put 60 stitches in the kid's chest. Now, they were going to do the same thing with this dog immediately. Euthanized the dog. And I got involved with, you know, helping the dog afterwards, talking about some of the things you did, but behaviorally, where I could walk him around a soccer field of kids and he wouldn't do anything. So it was, I mean, that's where, that's human caused.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the dog didn't, first of all, the kid came into the dog's yard. You know, most of the statutes actually give give the dog the right to attack a trespasser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, the child is a trespasser.
Well, this was in New Jersey, so, you know. but no, the people, they were going to have to move out of the whole neighborhood, and the dog could never be seen, and so the people had to take the dog over to another person's house, and it was a big mess. They were being sued over it.
Well, the being sued is a civil issue, and that we don't get involved in. That's purely a civil issue. Lexis Project does not represent the people. It represents only the dog.
So it's a criminal suit, which the dog is being charged with a crime and being sentenced. And so it's not one family suing another family. It's the state or the local authorities. It's the authorities that are charging the dog with a crime, and so there is a difference between criminal and civil.
It's quasi-criminal in nature in most jurisdictions.
Okay. So now, but how many dogs has the Lexis Project helped?
Approximately close to 100.
Wow.
Wow, very nice.
Great numbers.
We'd be much happier if there were far fewer.
Correct.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. How many are you having to turn away?
So far, we've been pretty lucky. We haven't.
Awesome.
But, you know, I can't.
You don't know if you can keep up that track record.
Yeah, really.
And I would say, what do you think? What would you attribute that to? If you had to turn a dog away, would it be most likely because you're not able to find an attorney that will handle it pro bono in the location that the dog is?
That's been the one or two times we've had to, yeah. Okay. For the most part, we, you know, and a few times we've been able to raise enough money that we've actually paid attorneys, so at reduced rates in real emergency situations. But for the most part, that is the reason that we would end up turning a case away, is that we don't have an attorney.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, there's a couple of things really that your group would need is obviously funding to cover any expenses that that are above and beyond the attorney's pro bono contribution, but also your group needs pro bono attorneys to step up, pro bono animal lover attorneys from various states that would be willing to take a case here and there.
Yeah. We're always looking for attorneys. We have a core group of unbelievably dedicated attorneys who have given thousands of hours among the various cases. But they're just, you know, we get an average of a couple of inquiries a day, and then not all of those turn into cases. But of the ones that do, you know, every one of them requires us to find an attorney.
Well, Richard, how can our listeners find out more about the Lexis Project?
We're online at thelexisproject.org.
That's L-E-X-U-S. L-E-X-U-S.
T-H-E-L-E-X-U-S. Project, project.org is our website. We're also on Facebook as the Lexis Project. You know, anyone who wants to donate, there are chip-ins on the webpage, both for individual dogs and for our general fund, which allows us to use money right away when cases come up.
Wow. Well, hopefully, you know, we can by, you know, airing this information on the show today, we can help your group out and hopefully we can help you get some more attorneys. But we're going to head to break really quick for our last segment. I wanted to thank you very much for coming on the show today, Richard, and we will be talking with you again, hopefully in the future, and we are going to be back right after these messages.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS, on the web at myfiaa.com.
And we're back. You're listening to Leader of the Pack with Susan and Mark.
Remember, listeners, you can email us at pettalk@live.com. Questions, comments. Questions. I don't want to hear comments. I'm kidding. So make sure you email us. Susan, I want to tell our listeners real quick about what our plans are coming up. Susan and I are actually going to be airing live next week. The show Leader of the Pack will be on live next week from the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. That's right, Las Vegas. Perfect time of the year to go. It's only 120. So what we're going to be doing out there is attending the Super Zoo, a national show for pet retailers, and we'll be sharing with our listeners all the different projects that you've been hearing the nice commercials about, and new products that's out there, plus nutrition. All the pet food industries will be there, and to join us, we're going to have clinical veterinary nutritionist Giulio Ferrari, our nutritionist that's been on the show several times. He's from the Paw Depot. He's going to be helping us sort through some of the best nutritional products that's out there, and we'll be bringing those shows to you live. We're even going to be filming, so we might be on some YouTube. So please listen next week, same time, but listen next week. We're going to be live from Las Vegas.
I know, and I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
It's crazy.
So, Mark, you know, we do a lot of volunteer work in the community with rescue groups and shelters. And millions of dogs are euthanized every year for behavior issues that we know can be fixed, just like with the Greyhound and the prey drive. We know we can help with that. And our effort in preventing adoption returns and owner surrenders is you know, going to do this volunteer work with the rescues in the shelters whenever we can arrange it. Well, one way I do it anyway is I teach free canine behavior classes for new adopters at one of the local shelters here. And I wanted to share with everyone a wonderful letter that I got this week from a lovely family that attended one of my classes a few weeks ago. It reads, "My son Noah and I attended your training 2 weeks ago with our new Chihuahua mix, Harley Quinn. I am writing you for a few reasons. First, I would like to thank you for volunteering your time and knowledge, and I really feel that this is a great resource for the adopted animals and the owners. Second, will you be rescheduling the second class? And third, my son Noah loved the class and was wondering if it would be possible for him to become a junior dog whisperer or if he could learn more. Thank you again for everything, and I look forward to hearing from you soon." Now, Mark, you were at that class and you got to meet Noah. He was, I think, he's a sweet little blonde-haired child, maybe 9 or 10, and I may
absolutely
be off on that.
Absolutely.
And he was so smart. This kid was so smart. He was amazing. I would teach the class, and I swear he could answer every question I asked, and the adults would stand there dumbfounded.
The guy would look at his wife like, "Don't you know the answer? She's asking us a question."
But here's little Noah, just with platinum blonde hair, cute as can be, and his little dog just there to learn everything he could. So right now, I want to make a shout-out to Noah, and I want to say, thank you, Noah, for attending my class and for being so engaged in learning how to have a calm and well-behaved dog. I was so impressed with your intelligence and your desire to learn more, and I would absolutely love for you to be a junior dog whisperer and to help me at the shelter with my free classes for new adoptive parents. And I'm going to contact you soon to set things in motion.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's going to be so fun. I'll have a little assistant.
Yeah, he can run and get you he can run and get you drinks and stuff. That'll be awesome.
He's going to teach people how to walk dogs.
Well, you know, I had him walking that bigger dog where the owner couldn't even walk it. So,
absolutely. That big husky that drove the owner in.
All right, we have a little time for What Were You Thinking? Because we had mentioned earlier, we had mentioned the dog parks and the prey drives and the big dogs and the little dogs and all that. And for what little bit of time we have left, let's talk quickly about dog parks, Susan.
Okay, well, I would say in general that our view of dog parks is not great. We're not big fans of dog parks. There are a few exceptions to that rule, and that's, for instance, one exception would be we had Kathy Brooks on last week to talk about the Hydrant Club in Las Vegas. Now, she's doing it right. This club is going to have restrictions, and it's membership only, and your dog has to pass temperament testing and have all of its vaccinations readily available and up to date. So when they're organized and they're put together properly, I'm not against it at all. But for the most part, what we see in dog parks is absolute chaos. And I happen to run my shelter class that I was just talking about right between the shelter. There's a field between the shelter and a dog park, and I'm there teaching my class. And consistently, every time I'm teaching, there's at least two dog fights during the class that are very distracting. And it's frustrating to me. If you know your dog is not well behaved, why in the world are you taking it to the dog park? I remember this one particular dog dragging his owner up the sidewalk from the parking lot to the dog park. His dog growled and lunged towards one dog, and it wasn't a playful lunge. It was, I want to eat you lunge. And then not only did he do it one time, but he did it a second time and then the third time. And do you know, the owner kept on walking right up to the gate, walks in the dog park, lets the dog off leash. Now, it just makes absolutely no sense.
Well, there's a lot of things they do at dog parks. You know, they put a whole list of rules up on the door, but I think it must be too high because nobody can read it. But everything, in my opinion, they do at dog parks is wrong. But, however, that's what people do. We will never send one of our clients' dogs to a dog park. That's what they tried to begin with, and it didn't work. So, again, I'd rather walk my dog to hunt for food than to let him go to a Disneyland on sugar cookies. It just makes no sense to me.
Well, yeah, and it is completely against what we teach. We teach excitement is what leads to dominant behaviors, which is what leads to aggression. And so I can't think of a better description of a dog park than excitement.
No.
So
it makes no sense. I just, you know, give the kids sugar cookies and Kool-Aid, tell them to get on the bus, we're going to Disneyland, and then when they get there, you say, now calm down.
Yes. Be good. It's like bringing kids in from recess and sending them to math class. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big change. Well, that's all for this week. I look forward to next week's show. I can't wait. We'll be airing live from the Super Zoo in Las Vegas. Remember, you can email us at pettalk@live.com. And thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a great week.